Hey friends, thank you so much for tuning in to today's broadcast. You know, we're fully listener supported, which means that we can't do the work that we're doing unless we have your support. Please pray about becoming a monthly partner to this ministry. We are affecting the lives of many people by the grace of God. And in order for us to expand or even to stay doing what we're doing, we need your help. Thank you so much for prayerfully considering to become a partner. We truly appreciate you and bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody, welcome back. I have one of my favorite returning guests. He's a dear friend. He's a doctor. He ran for governor of the great state of Oklahoma, and he is all around the country sharing the truth in medical freedom, which we need very much so in this hour. He knows the ways to get around the bail system, the Babylon system, and his name is Dr. Mark Sherwood. Dr. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me. I'm really honored to be here, and it's good to see you, man.
Hey, you as well, my friend. So before we got on the broadcast here, we were talking about what they're trying to do. So we see it. The writing is on the wall. They're trying to bring back the regulations. I'm trying to use keywords so we don't get kicked off the live stream. But, you know, they're trying to bring back the mandates. They're trying to bring back the masks, all that stuff. We see it. It's happening in schools. It's happening in colleges, happening in airports again. I was just at the airport the other day, and I couldn't believe how many people had succumbed to putting the mask back on. But yet here we are. So I thought this would really be a good time to talk about our purpose as Christians and also how we can get around this and stand for truth in this hour. So I want to just give you the floor. What's on your heart as I kind of say those things?
Well, I think that everybody, you, me, and most people in our network circle of conservative friends and, you know, colleagues have heard clearly all the rumors that are, as you just so eloquently outlined. Here's the issue. You know, rumors are rumors are rumors, and facts are facts are facts.
Right.
We need to deal with reality. Reality is this, is we as Christians have a call in our life to shine the light and be in the world, but not of the world. Yes. So you mentioned something very key, and I think I'll play off those words, is that the writing's on the wall. The writing may be on the wall, but that's not God's writing. God's writing was on the tablets, you know, whole different angle. And so we need to really think about this. There are kingdom rules, there are kingdom regulations, there are kingdom principles. And then there are the world system, which you mentioned, this kind of Baal Babylonian-ish system. Mm-hmm. Last time, because of our immaturity, because of our lack of leadership and probably naivety, you know, juveniles behavior that we can all fall for, we fell for it. And the old saying goes, fool me once, shame on me.
Right.
Fool me twice, shame on you, you know, or right. shame on you, shame on me. I had those reversed, but get the idea. So last time, you know, I think that the pandemic taught us something, Todd. It taught us what the real church was and what the real church wasn't. It's like we're going along there on the cruise ship, man, and we had all this different ice cream flavors and flavors for everybody, and the cruise ship got dumped over.
Yes.
And that was probably good. It was probably good for our country, probably good for our nation. I know it was really good for the church.
Right.
So God used that to find out who was going to drown, who was going to go to the world's lifeboat, and who's going to try to walk on the water.
Yes.
You know, right? So that said, here we are again. What do we do? And here's some words for the people out there right now. First of all, I want to address people that claim to be pastors. And I use those words in air quotes intentionally, because if you're a pastor, you have no bond to falling for the government mandates. That's not your call. They don't have authority over you. That whole idea of separation in church and state is a concept that's flipped. When Thomas Jefferson addressed the Danbury Baptist in writing, people go, can look at this up. He did not say that the church needed to stay out of government. But he did say the government needed to stay out of the church. Yes. And he was really on point with that. He didn't mince words, Todd. He was a very clear guy. And he was a young man. I'm admiring that the wisdom of these young men, but they asked for and received and had the wisdom of God. So the churches that are churches, I'm not talking about individual kingdoms that are trying to just pirate a bunch of influence and live the high life. I'm talking about real churches, real leadership. You do not, must not, cannot close your doors under any circumstance.
That's right.
If people don't want to come, it's fine. It's cool. It's great. That's their choice. But you cannot close your doors under any circumstance. Now, with that said, being in law enforcement prior to this 24 years, you know, in that years ago.
Yeah.
Started when I was 12, by the way. this joke there. But the bottom line is, I have seen and heard the statements that are like this. Well, the police are going to come and arrest you if you open your doors. Right. That is a false statement. That is not. It happened in Canada, yes, with Artur. We know that, Pawlowski. But the bottom line is that is not America. I mean, it's not there yet. And there are law enforcement out there that I know personally that would not do that anyway.
Right.
All law enforcement is not clouded and shrouded with confusion. So they're not going to do that. I mean, it's not going to happen. If that one thing happens, if the true church groups of leaders stand up in America and don't close, that's one key that acts like a, well, if you'll pardon the pun, a trump card to the plan that they have,
right?
Because they can't stand for that. Mm-hmm. The second side of this, Todd, is this. If the people in, I'm talking mostly rural America, mm-hmm. and even in the cities, if they come out with mandates that say you got to wear this mask or whatever, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is that's a mandate that goes against God's command. God's word talks about in Corinthians that we are to let our faces shine. Right. We're to walk around with glowing faces. You know, Moses, and he went up the mountain. He was glowing. The only reason he put a mask on because his brightness was blinding everybody around.
Yeah.
Let your brightness blind everybody around.
Right.
Don't cover it up. And so you can't do that. And if you're a business out there, this is really important as well. And the mandates come. You cannot succumb to that mess. You can't. If people want to wear a mask in your business, that's fine.
Right.
But you don't have to. Mandates are not laws. They are just strong suggestions, strong admonitions. A mandate and a law are two different things.
Right.
A law has a penalty of crime and time and fine. A mandate has a penalty. You make somebody mad. That's it. So we've got to stand strong in this. If we do this time around, it won't progress to where we think it might.
Right.
If we don't this time around, it will progress and go beyond that. So the choice that we have right now is not what they do. It's what we do.
That's such a good point. You're exactly right. It's when we say no, when we all collectively say no. And to your point, the churches, we can't close down. You know, don't forsake the assembling together of the brethren. I think of one instance where one of my friends, Dr. Rodney Hart Brown, actually did get arrested. But you know what? They dropped the charges. And he ended up having, I think he's at 1180 of the stand now, a move of God at his church, like unlike anything he's ever seen before. So the thing is God will reward you. It's kind of like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. There's another one in the fire. And the bottom line is we have to stand for our Constitution, by the way, to your point, in the First Amendment says that we have the right to assemble. So it's syncretist with the Word of God in that aspect where we have the ability to assemble as people here in the United States, citizens of the United States. Our founders believed in God over government, you know, that our rights are given us by God, not by government. So very important. Now, from a medical standpoint, because you are a doctor, what do you see when they're putting out these, you know, all of a sudden, Joe Biden's wife, you know, she's got COVID and now on The View, they have COVID. You know, it's like the same narrative that they're pushing. Is there danger with regard to getting COVID again?
You know, viruses, as a general rule, people need to know this, they're not alive. They have to sort of hijack your own RNA to have the ability to generate the proteins and stay alive. So they are basically innate things that have to have a host, right? When the viruses first come out, you know, whether they are mankind created or just generated somehow, and again, I believe it's the former, but nonetheless, over the course of time, when they immediately come out, they're more virulent or more dangerous. As time goes on, they get less dangerous and more contagious. Now, right. That tells a lot because they don't want to lose their ability to have a host, right? Why would they want to kill their host? I mean, you got to think through the minds of the virus, if you will, right? So it's going to become more contagious. It is absolutely ubiquitous in our world right now, meaning just like the flu, it's going to be there. It's not going away. It is what it is. And you might get it. So what? Move on. The bottom line is the body's ability to build antibodies to that is extraordinary. And God is not so stupid to create a human being on planet Earth where he, by the way, God created viruses too. Hmm. Very important to catch. People might go, wow, that's crazy. But nothing in the earth was not created by God. Mankind shifts it, moves it, distorts it to create evil. So we do not need to be concerned about the COVID virus. Mm-mm. End of story. If you get it, let the body build antibodies around it.
Right.
At the same time, do not be dependent upon medications. That's a false security. Don't say, for example, this is not poo-pooing ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. This is just saying wisdom. Wisdom right. says, don't go for this trap, folks. Put it in my cabinet. I got to have it just in case.
Right.
Well, that puts a false security blanket on that thing that is nothing more than pharmakeian sorcery.
Mm.
If you depend on pharmakeian sorcery, you'll be blessed, quote unquote, by pharmakeian sorcery. Actually,
yeah.
you're going to be cursed by that because you're going to get let down.
That's right.
The other thing that people need to understand is when we're driven in fear, chronic fear and anxiety, Todd, that pushes the force of the body beyond us, outside of
yes.
us. And what
yes.
that does is it puts us fighting the demons outside of us, fighting the bear that's chasing us, instead of fighting our bodies or our body's ability to fight what's inside of us like a virus. It
right.
actually weakens the immune system. So the more right. we talk about the bad things out there, the more we talk about the fear, talk about, you know, we're going to stand up, we're going to fight, which is true. The more we do that, the more you empower that thing outside of you and disempower what is in you.
Mm.
So our focus needs to be on what and who is in us, and that's God Almighty. If we focus
yes.
on that and what he's done inside of us, what he is doing and what he can do, meaning he didn't put you on this earth, Todd Coconato, to die by a virus unless he called you to die by the virus.
That's right.
In other words, we are not going to have a shortened life based upon his choice, but we might based upon our choice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we have to really choose what we're going to focus on. We need to be aware of, but not consumed with that, and be aware of and consumed with the Father's business.
That's so good. You know, I'm going to go down a little rabbit hole here because I got you. And I know you're probably one of the most informed people that I know out there. You mentioned ivermectin. Ivermectin, I believe, is a dewormer. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's an anti-parasitic, you know, kind of concept. And it's not, look, people are, there's something called the placebo effect.
Okay.
And if somebody believes it works, it might work. And
okay.
if it works, it works. But either way, I'm good with. If somebody,
right.
You know, puts a piece of scotch tape on the back of their hand and believes that that somehow or another, you know, somehow causes the virus to go up and stick to that scotch tape and you just peel it off. If that works, I'm good with that. That's very cool. But that is not what the body is missing. God, and quote me on this, folks. You can hear my heart with this. Check it. God did not make mankind ivermectin deficient.
Mm.
He didn't do that.
Mm.
Now, do we have the ability now through the good parts of science and the good parts of pharmacological interventions to use those appropriately? Yes, we do.
Right.
That is not an indictment upon ivermectin. It is an indictment upon the dependence of it, believing
right.
there's no other way that's better than that. That
yeah.
is a false sense of security. And we've got to understand that even though that might have some backdoor mechanisms of action that would be anti-proliferally towards this virus, given that, understand that we have used mechanisms of actions that are included in sulforaphane, which is driven by broccoli sprout powder, that actually have those natural things afar and beyond any drug would do.
Right, right. That's so good. Because the reason I ask is, so there's people out there that are saying that some forms of cancer are actually caused by pinworms and different parasites. And their hypothesis is that their urine and some of the stuff that secretes from these are actually cancer causing. Is there any truth to that that you know of?
Well, here's what I know. You go back and look at like 1910 or so. People can pull this up and look at it. Top causes of death, you know, right? And cancer wasn't even in the top 10, right?
Right.
So did all of a sudden the parasitic actions become cancerous in the last 100 years? You know, the answer seems plausibly no, right? That doesn't make
no.
any sense because, again, if we believe God created parasites and God created viruses, that means they've been around since the beginning of time, right?
Right.
So there's some sense of symbiotic relationship that we have with these things, right? Somehow
right.
or another, through God's wisdom, and I don't know this, we're supposed to live with them and not away from them. And somehow or another, if they become virulent or pathological in our life, the body's supposed to be able to crush them, right? Yeah. We know that.
Yeah.
To really think that all of a sudden there's something like that that has caused everything, I think is a little naive. Okay. What I do know is true is over the last 100 years, we've had a lot of chemicals put into our environment.
Right.
We've had a lot of processed foods come in. We've had a lot of things come in into our bodies that were never intended to be in our bodies.
Yeah.
Such as genetically modified foods. I mean,
right.
Those are not the form in which God made them. And based upon that alone, I mean, anybody out there would say, well, we probably shouldn't put those in our lives, in our bodies, but we do anyway.
Right.
We do that. So I believe in more of the terrain theory or hypothesis. It believes that terrain of our bodies has changed so much that now they become weakened in their resilience. And I believe that if you have a weakened resilience, whatever might come in, whatever might be out there and here, whatever, becomes more dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. What does somebody do? Because I mean, I'm even hearing some of the organic food is compromised. So how do we eat better when we can't even have access to that type of food? I mean, other than growing it, what do you suggest?
Well, I think we get some seeds. I think we begin to grow in our backyard. I think there's a lot of systems out there that can grow sprouts in your kitchen. That's awesome.
Is that something that you do, Doctor?
Yeah, we certainly believe in that wholeheartedly. Yeah. And secondly, you get a hold of a local farmer.
Right. There you go.
Support them, man. I mean, the farmers out there, the only reason they've struggled over the course of time is because they became dependent upon the government to fund them or subsidize them.
Yes.
If we will, as a nation, once again, go back to what our roots are, pun intended, and support those local farmers, man, go to the farmer's market, encourage them, buy and sell, trade, you know,
right.
Go to the farmers and say, hey, man, I want to get some of your crops, and the farmers will love you for that.
So good. So good. So do you feel, I'm just asking all the conspiracy questions today.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this is going to be, I don't ever get these types of, you know, conversations, and people tell me a lot of things. They're always sending me videos and I just try to figure out what's real and what's not. Do you feel that there are cures for cancer that are out there that the powers that be are holding back because of big pharma and all the money involved in treating cancer and things like that?
The love of money can cloud anything, can it? The love of money is the root of not just some evil, all evil. You know, love of money creates this love of power and, you know, and even conspiracies, if you will. Right.
Right. Right.
I do know this. I do know that since cancer was not one of the biggies, you know, 150 years ago, something has changed. And certainly part of what you just said could be some of it. I do think, you know, to sort of look at, you know, the Bollinger's kind of concept of cancer is that.
Right.
When a cell becomes carcinogenic or cancerous, their view is, and it seems plausible, is that maybe that's the way the body is saying to itself, hey, I need help over here. Either fix me or kill me. And therefore, the body's immune system can create what's called natural killer cells and go to that and deal with it, right? So this happens as a natural phenomenon process in our immune system, which is both innate and adaptive. Now, having said that, if that's true, what can we do to support better function of the immune system?
Right.
Well, we have to do that. And what can we do to support maybe this just metabolism of a cell level with cancer? We can actually eat better, live better, get less exercise. Chemicals in our body and all this. So, you know, I think there's multiple sides of that answer that are out there. And I think the side I just talked about is underappreciated and it's under discussed today because we're looking for. And this mentality is probably not good. We're looking for one thing that causes everything or one thing that can cure everything. And that thinking is not correct. Anything can create anything and anything can lead to everything. And that's kind of a sort of the really holistic, and I'm using WHO-listic and HO-listic as that concept, because these ideas that we're talking about here are based upon God's overall view of creation versus man's limitations within creation.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, immune system is very important. I hear this as a regular theme from anybody, especially naturopath doctors, you know, saying, you know, we need to have a healthy immune system. Clearly there is an attack on our immune system.
Yeah.
What are the most important things? Somebody shared this to me. They said that cancer can't live in an alkaline environment. Would you suggest drinking Kangen water? I mean, is that something that we should have in our diet? Alkaline water, fruits, vegetables, or things like that helpful to fight against cancer, things like that?
Studies have shown with alkaline water that the benefit was not in the alkalinity. The benefit was in the hydrogen production within that. So people should be drinking hydrogen gas infused water. Boom. I have a little machine I carry with me on the road. I have one at home that I use all the time. So that is one that we should be using. So that's the benefit of the alkalized water craze. Should we be eating more fruits and vegetables? Yes. Those phytochemicals in there are anti-carcinogenic, inclusive of the cruciferous vegetables. That would be like broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, bok choy, things of that nature. We should be eating more of those. Cancer, again, looking at this from a reasonable, logical standpoint, Todd, when someone does a PET scan, what do? They're looking for cancer. How do they
unknown
do that?
Caller.
They feed the body with sugar and let the cells of cancer take up the sugar. Well, that ought to tell us something that, maybe we shouldn't be eating sugar.
Right.
So there you go.
Sugar feeds cancer. Sugar feeds cancer, in other words.
That's right. So we should be probably leaning more towards ketogenic eating, which is high plants. You know, it is minimizing this heavy protein and maximizing those good, healthy poly and monounsaturated fats.
Right. Have you seen a group of people, I'll give you an example, Asians or Indians, is there a culture that we're seeing from a statistical standpoint less cancer because of their diet and exercise habit?
Yes. Native Indians, I'm not talking from Native American, talking Native Indian. Yes. Traditionally, they've had the high Ayurvedic, treatment, including a lot of curcumin, a lot of turmeric and things like that. They tend to do really well. And then the Japanese, obviously, eating more fish and things like that, but we've seen as the Western culture has expanded across the globe, that has led to the increase of cancer across the globe as well. Namely, and I heard this the other day, I haven't verified it statistically, but I heard that Canada now has surpassed heart disease as the number one killer.
Right.
I do know in America that 600,000 people die of heart disease every year, and it's still the number one killer in the world, including our country. But cancer is 550,000, so it's right on its heel. And if we're continuing to do the trends we're doing and not changing the way we think, it is quite logical to me and plausible that in the next 10 years, cancer will surpass heart disease as number one killer in America.
Yeah. I mean, because, just as a pastor, I have it's like my standpoint. I get people writing me all the time, letters and prayer requests. And so cancer is like by far the number one thing I'm hearing about. Now, there's a lot of kids that are addicted to opioids and, you have a lot of addictive issues. But cancer is by far the biggest prayer request that we're getting right now. And so I'm just trying to figure out what we can do as astute believers to live better and healthier and try to avoid this in any way we can. What would you say like to someone like myself that I try to eat healthy, I try to exercise, God has gotten a hold of me on this in the last couple of years. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual war. And it's really important that we get the right rest and we're taking care of our body. What are some things that you recommend?
There are seven areas that people need to deal with, right? And with two overriding things that circle those areas. Number one, we got to manage the things we have control over and I'll steal a line from you. We don't need to try something. We need to do it. We need to control our sleep. We need to make sure we get sleep. We need to stay off of negativity, including managing stress. We need to exercise every day. The only day you don't exercise is the day you're dead.
Wow.
Stop making excuses, folks. We get 1,440 minutes a day. How we spend that time is our choice. And we need to eat right. No excuses. God provided for his people in the desert. He did.
Right.
If he provided for them in the desert through, coriander and quail, I suppose that he can supply everything we need today as well. Those four areas we have direct control over. We need to master those things, understand that God gave us self-control as one of the characteristics or fruit of his life in our own. So we have no excuse, right? We are without excuse. If Jesus sinned not, then we also are without excuse. We need to trust him more in that and don't plan on falling. Yeah. We also need to, number five, is understand our own genetics. So people see us all the time. We're actually out of town right now teaching genetics. You need to know your own. That's God's roadmap for your success. Yeah. Number six, we need to understand that hormones are protective towards our immune system. So we need to make sure those hormones are in place. Number seven, we need to understand a science called glycobiology, which is really understanding glycans on top of our immune cells. And we test that as well. Those seven things, four that we have control over, three that we don't, need to be dealt with. And you need practitioners, obviously, in the last three. And then finally, with practitioners, pastors, you know, healers, emotional and spiritual health needs to be solid.
Right, man. I feel like you need to send me a bill for this conversation.
No, it's all good, man.
This is good stuff, man. Yeah. Okay. Last thing here before we got to go. And then I want to get into your products and what you got, because it actually all ties in. Stress. Okay. I deal with a heavy level of stress and I've been trying to manage this, but I know that it affects my body, my sleeping patterns, everything, my heart. How important is it to manage stress, and how do you suggest even going about that?
Stress is so big. We need to, first of all, understand that stress is not a noun. It's a verb. Stress, therefore, write this definition down, folks. It's an action we take in response to life's expected or unexpected occurrences. If it's an action we take, that makes it a verb, not a noun. Therefore, it has no control over us. We have control over it. We cannot allow the definition of society to become the definition in which we live. Jesus looked at life, he had a godly perspective, and he took action. We can do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we have to. We must. So you have a website. It's very awesome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the website and what you got on there?
People can go to Sherwood.tv and /remnant, because I want to know people are listening to your show. I think that's very important. We have a lot of things on there that people can do. We have plans that people can get into. And all the stuff we talked about today, we lay it out there for you. So all you have to do is, like Dorothy said, follow the yellow brick road. It's real simple, you know. Right. And these are godly principles that we teach. We have Kingdom Fuel out there. We have Kingdom Crunch, which is a healthy cereal coming. We have Kingdom Candy. We have Kingdom Cup with a K, organic mold-free coffee. So we have a whole bunch of stuff coming up. We have Kingdom Weight Loss Plans and Kingdom Transformation Plans. And there is something out there for everyone, including if you want to work with us, you can.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. So it's Sherwood.tv /remnant. We'll put it on here. Dr. Sherwood, you're a wealth of knowledge, man. I really appreciate you. This is probably our favorite show that we've done together, just because it's answered some of the biggest questions I've had for a while. And I don't know why I've never asked them of you, but you know, I just felt, why not just lay it all out today? But we get so many people that are just praying about these matters. And I'm trying to take your advice about lowering my stress, eating well. You know, it's really been a game changer even since I've known you. You know, I wish I could put like a before and after picture of me from like a couple years ago, but I had gained a lot of weight and I was having issues in my heart and blockage. And I feel younger and better today because of exercise and eating. And even though the stress level is crazy, it's manageable because I've learned to lay it down at the foot of the cross. So maybe that's what we got to talk about in the next show, man. But always appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much for coming on. Again, the website is Sherwood.tv /remnant. And we'll be back with the Todd Cove Announcer.
Over the last 20 years, with all your support, we've been able to not only launch the original MyPillow, but also the MyPillow mattress topper, Giza Dream bed sheets, My Slippers, and the MyPillow bath towels. But there's so much more. In fact, we have over 200 products, and I'm so confident that you'll love each and every one of them that when you go to MyPillow.com now, you'll immediately receive a free gift valued at $20 just for checking out the website. No purchase necessary. Get everything from MyPillow blankets, sleepwear, kitchen towels, mattresses, duvets, pet beds, body pillows, comforters, couch pillows, bathrobes, and so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. And remember, just for checking out MyPillow.com, you'll immediately receive a free gift valued at $20. No purchase necessary. This is a limited time promotion, so go to MyPillow.com now.